Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks so much for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Friday, June 14th. The Daily Sentinel reports that the executive director of the National Sierra Club on Wednesday got an aerial look at Western Garfield County's gas patch and visited with local residents who say they've been affected by the drilling. The Sierra Club, under Michael Bruhn's 3 years of leadership, has abandoned its support of natural gas as a bridge fuel to alternative forms of energy and has become a leading critic of fracking and other aspects of developing oil and gas. The gas industry and its supporters say natural gas is a critical piece of America's energy puzzle due to the intermittent nature of some renewable energy sources and their lack of scale. But Bruhn says alternative sources like solar and wind are quickly establishing themselves as they become much cheaper. Meanwhile, he says natural gas development's negative aspects are becoming better understood, from the climate impacts of methane emissions to the effects of fracking on human health. Bruhn's flight also gave him an eagle-eye view of the forest-topped Rhone Plateau, which the Sierra Club and other conservation groups have at least temporarily protected from drilling as a result of a judge's ruling in their lawsuit to challenge leases there. Jason Neff co-authored a study showing the amount of dust blowing into the western United States has increased over the last two decades. He spoke to Marcy Krivonin of the Aspen Public Radio.
What we see basically is that the big dust years are years in which we have very, very powerful winds that run across a large area of the western U.S. And so that combined with drought, because a lot of the U.S., western U.S. has been in a sort of persistent drought for the last decade, those two things, wind and drought, together explain about half of the trend that we see in dust, this increase in dust deposition that we see. The other half is harder to explain. For that, we don't have a very, very clear answer, but we have some ideas. Whenever dust blows, it requires the soils to be either disturbed or have the vegetation removed. So you can kind of imagine all the things that go on in deserts that disturb the soil surfaces. They range from, you know, grazing animals to off-road vehicle use to oil and gas development to construction of new homes and all the other things that go on. We don't know between all those different things which is most important, but we know collectively there's been quite a lot of development in the western U.S. over the last two decades, and that likely is playing a role in the increase.
And so what are the implications for parts of Colorado?
One of the obvious ones if you live in the mountains is you see these layers of dust on the snowpack. And that dust on the snowpack is important because what happens late in the season in the spring is that that surface of the snow gets dark, it absorbs more heat, and it melts sooner. And when snow melts sooner in the Rockies, it means that the rivers come up faster, the water disappears sooner, it flows out to the reservoir, and there's been a number of studies now that show actually we get less water in the reservoirs at the end of all of this process because more of it's lost to the atmosphere. So that's really important for a dry part of the U.S. where, you know, water is really valuable. That's one part of it. The other things we know are happening is that this dust is actually changing the chemistry of our rainfall. It's actually making the rain a little less acidic because dust contains things called base cations that neutralize acids. That's not a bad thing at all. That's actually probably a good thing. And then back to the sort of more negative consequences, the other big one is visibility. We all like to look across mountain valleys and see pristine peaks off in the distance, and dust obscures that view quite a bit.
Until recently, dust hasn't been routinely measured. How did you discover that dust emissions have increased?
What we did, because we don't have direct measurements of dust deposition, is look for what we call a proxy measurement. A proxy is something that is related to but is not the same as the item that you're interested in. In this case, we measured calcium in rainfall, and calcium can get into the atmosphere in a number of different ways. Some of those ways are industrial. In the western U.S., and actually for much of the U.S., the largest source of calcium is soil that blows up in the atmosphere, and then once it's in the atmosphere, it helps form up raindrops, and then some of that calcium out of the soil dissolves in the rain. So by looking at trends in calcium deposition, which is well measured across the U.S., we were able to see what parts of the country are experiencing changes in calcium deposition. When you look at that map, there's a big bullseye on the western Rocky Mountains of Colorado, where there have been very, very large increases in calcium deposition over the last 17 years. And so that information combined with what we know about where calcium comes from lets us say something about this overall change or increase in dust deposition in that period.
Dust is now being measured, and the study you did was funded by the National Science Foundation. Why are these efforts happening? You know, why does it matter if there's an increase in dust?
Dust contains particles, and those particles, go into our lungs when we breathe. And there are concerns about what this means for air quality in a human health sense and whether or not there are any, you know, long-term impacts. That's not something we know very much about, actually, with dust storms, but it's something that, you know, we are concerned with.
And that was Jason Neff speaking with Marcy Krivenin of Aspen Public Radio. The Office of Senator Michael Bennett announced Wednesday that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has designated six Colorado counties as primary natural disaster areas and six more counties as contiguous disaster areas due to severe drought conditions. The designations mean that farmers and ranchers in the counties are eligible for additional Farm Service Agency assistance. The six Colorado counties designated as primary disaster areas are Dolores, Hinsdale, La Plata, Montezuma, Ouray, and San Miguel counties. The six Colorado counties designated as contiguous disaster areas are Archuleta, Gunnison, Mineral, Montrose, Sawatch, and San Juan counties. The Daily Sentinel reports that budget considerations led the Olathe Town Board to decide unanimously on Wednesday night to cancel the town's long-running Sweet Corn Festival, which was planned for August 2nd and 3rd of this year. Olathe Director of Activities and Town Clerk Bobby Sale said the board voted 7-0 after lengthy discussion to cancel this year's festival, but she said that the town will try again to put on the celebration in 2014. Dave Kanzer is the Colorado River Conservation District's Senior Water Resources Engineer for our area, the Gunnison River Basin. Based in Glenwood Springs, Kanzer works with local residents to protect water quality and quantity. In the context of the job, he helps with reservoir operations, ag practices, water quality and quantity data collection, cooperating with a variety of federal, state, and local agencies. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports.
Like other western states, Colorado operates under the prior appropriation doctrine, often stated as first in time, first in right. Early agricultural water rights in our area were claimed in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and they remain to this day. Dave Kanzer.
In the area around Paonia, the short ditch is one of those senior rights, and they is an agricultural right near Hotchkiss. And so they, around the turn of the century, created these structures, diverted water, applied it to fields, and now, today, are still irrigating some of those areas and are able to, in a time of shortage, claim the majority of the water available. Since that time, if other junior rights, folks that came in afterwards, they can still appropriate water under the prior appropriation system, but they will not be guaranteed water in times of shortage. And that's what really necessitated the need for things such as Paonia Reservoir to provide late-season agricultural water when the natural stream flow decreases with time. As flows decrease here in the coming weeks, the reservoir will start to release water to some of the agricultural users that were designed to benefit from those projects, and those are primarily up in the Rogers Mesa area from Paonia Reservoir on Fire Mountain Canal.
Every year is different when it comes to water, but some years are more different than others.
This year, water year 2013, is a very unique year. We started out extremely dry, a small snowpack, and concerns were very high that we would suffer shortages throughout the year. Then we had April and May, which were, in a lot of regions, including parts of the North Fork, reached record proportions for precipitation, snow, and rain. And that really took the pressure off and the fears away for a lot of the issues of shortage. It's not to say we're going to have a firm supply the entire year, because we're going into the drier part of the season when we don't have a lot of natural precipitation, and we have very little storage. Peony Reservoir is relatively small, as an example, and we will have to rely on what's available in the streams. And in addition, last year, water year 2012, was exceptionally dry, one of a record dry year. And so the soil moisture, we are in a deficit, and we replenished some of that through this wet spring that we had. Even in a good year, the river falls, snow melt decreases in late June, early July, and that's the time when some of these reservoirs start releasing water, and that's the time when we typically have senior water calls or curtailments. And that just means that those seniors have the first, they're first in line for whatever water is available, and those that are at the back of the line, so to speak, or more junior water users, typically have to either decrease their usage or find a replacement supply.
Kanzer says the small volunteer-based irrigation companies are where wise decisions about water can be made.
We work with them very closely. I mean, these are our partners on the ground. We do have financial resources. We reach out to a lot of these companies, and I could cite several examples, especially in the North Fork, where we've come with some small amount of money or other grant opportunities with the federal entities to improve systems. It's probably well known to some of the folks in Peonia, anyway, that the Minnesota Ditch Company is one of these. They applied for and were successful in getting a large grant to improve their system. And these are really win-win situations where a small amount of money can go a long way and provide long-term sustainability for these companies that really do struggle year to year. It's a pleasure to work with companies like that, and small districts provide that level of dedication and stewardship. These are the folks that are probably the original environmentalists when you think about it. They care for the land. They've done it for a hundred years, I should say, and do it with a dedication that's rare in today's world.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
And that concludes your local newscast for Friday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, I'm Eric Gould. Brian Cambria will be back with you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.